From WHQR Public Media in Wilmington, North Carolina, this is Coastline. I'm Rachel Lewis-Hilburn. Joe Briault, Mayor Pro Tem of the town of Belleville, is moving to Florida a little more than halfway through his second term as commissioner. According to U.S. Census data, Belleville boasts a population of slightly more than 2,000, and it claims less than 2 square miles, which is surrounded by the town of Leland. Despite the town's diminutive size, Joe Briault has seen fit to aggressively push a vision connecting the entire Cape Fear region through blueways and greenways, and the beginning of that vision is coming to fruition on Belleville's riverfront. He was also part of a controversial move to transfer assets of a water utility serving Leland to the town of Belleville in hopes of keeping plans on track for a reverse osmosis plant. The first time Joe Briault ran for a seat on Belleville's town board, he lost. In 2011, he ran again and won about 34% of the vote, first place. In Belleville 7 years ago, that translated to 169 votes. Running for a second term in 2015, he was one of two candidates on the ballot for one of two seats. Pat Bryant and Joe Briault received exactly the same number of votes, 89. He's with us today to talk about his time as a public official in Belleville, his contribution to the future of the Cape Fear region, and to pull back the curtain a bit on the life he's lived up to now and perhaps some of the key lessons he's learned. His resignation is effective after the July 16th meeting. Joe Briault, welcome to Coastline.
Oh, thank you. It's pleasant to be here, and thank you for inviting me.
And we're inviting you to join the conversation. Do you have a question for Joe Briault or a comment about his time in public office? You can call us on this Thursday at 910-343-1138 or email us today at coastline@whqr.org. Joe Briault, we've heard vaguely about health concerns as the reason that you're stepping away from public office and moving to Florida. Tell us about the diagnosis.
Well, I'm 75 years old, and I've basically put my heart and soul into this town. I love the town. I really don't want to move. This is not an easy decision on my part. However, I've been diagnosed with a progressive lung disease, pulmonary fibrosis, and it's non-remedial. I've been told that I have to alter my lifestyle immediately and dramatically, hence the move. Now, there are some that will question why I'm moving so far. And the reason is because I'm so committed to the town and the vision that we have and the plans that we have that I know that if I were in anywhere of commuting distance, I would be here continuing the efforts, and that would be counterproductive to my health.
You have taken on a lot as a town commissioner for a very small town in Brunswick County, and you've had a big vision for this area, ultimately connecting the Tri-County region. But you and your wife actually considered, before you settled on Florida, moving even farther away.
Well, actually, I'd been offered a position in Texas to begin with to take over a facility down there for Toyota. And we decided not to do that, to retire and move to North Carolina. But in that process, we had also considered at one point relocating to Costa Rica, primarily because it has a very large expat community there, and we enjoy the environmental issues. Costa Rica is a very, very environmentally sensitive country, one of the most so in the nation, in the world.
So you ultimately settled on Florida. Why?
I chose Florida because it's far enough away that I can't be tempted to come back to the Riverwalk. That's the big reason. We have family in Florida, and I wanted to be obviously away from the snow belt.
So tell us about this Tri-County connection that you've envisioned. This is a network, possibly, of blueways and greenways. Where is it now?
Right now, it's segmented. Let me back up. What happens is we have all of these locally oriented entities, such as people saying, this is my Fort Fisher, or this is my battlefield, or this is my riverfront property, or whatever, this is my historical home. And we end up with these isolated islands of interest, and there's no interconnectivity between them. Additionally, we have the issue of dwindling funds. There are less and less grant monies available out there, and rather than competing as, say, New Hanover competing with Brunswick or Belleville competing with Wilmington for those funds, my vision is that we should unite and try to utilize those funds to the best of the ability for everyone's benefit. And to that end, I came up with the idea of this tri-county, if you will, 28-mile-long bicycle and pedestrian trail. Now, I knew and I know that Belleville is the smallest jewel in this crown of islands and entities that make up this 28-mile tri-county circle. However, that did not prevent us as a town from embracing the vision and moving forward with it. Now, you have to understand that I've been very, very, very fortunate. I work with an outstanding town staff in the mayor and the town commissioners, the town planning board, the town parks and recreation board, and we came up with this vision in 2014. I was on my way to a meeting with DOT, and I noticed that D.R. Horton was starting a development called Hawkswater right across from what at that time was the Brunswick River Park. And it dawned on me that we're putting 25,000 houses, remember this is 2014, within a 5-mile circuit of Belleville. And you cannot concrete over everything. We have to set something aside for our children's grandchildren. We have to preserve something for future generations. And that waterfront that was at the Brunswick Park was immediately something that struck me as the start to this tri-county vision of building something. And we went before the public at Belleville, and yes, we're a small town, but even though we're small, we embraced that concept. We embraced as a town the financial commitment necessary to make it happen. Nobody thought we could do it. And lo and behold, 4 years later, we've created a town park that is drawing over 30,000 people a year. That's become a jewel for the entire region. And that was the start of our vision. We'd like to continue that vision.
Now, tell us just where we are with the park right now, that is, within the town of Belleville.
Okay, within the town of Belleville, let me do a little recap because many people don't realize just how well the town has done for the general public of the region. In the last 5 years, we've created a new town garage, we created a town storage facility, we built a 2,400 square foot on the water observation deck, we built 1 mile of nature trail, we built a 125 foot long fishing pier, we built an outdoor educational classroom.
And that fishing pier is named after you, dedicated to you, the man with the vision. I just need to point that out.
Thank you very much, but that was a surprise, and it was a pleasant surprise. But we've also built an outdoor educational classroom, the first one of its kind on the East Coast, that is not only endorsed by the North Carolina Department of Education, but the North Carolina Fish and Wildlife Commission and the North Carolina Wildlife Commission in general, so that all classes held in that classroom for the K-12 Science Core curricula can be broadcast live and interactively to all 12,500 students in the Brunswick County school system. That in itself is amazing. We built a 1,480-foot-long boardwalk on the river. We've built a musical pavilion thanks to a grant and donation from Caldwell Bank of Seacoast Advantage. We've just completed a farmer's market that is drawing people by the hordes and been extremely successful. It's being sponsored with Seaview Crab, who built the structure in return for 30-month site rental. It's used by Port City Produce, and we've just had the Nona Boca Winery there for wine tastings become part of the entity, all of part of our healthy choice food style and living style embracement. We've done all of that in addition to building a $1.4 million town hall, and the amazing thing is we've done all of this and maintained a tax rate lower than it was 6 years ago. Now, that's phenomenal. How many towns can say that in the region?
And this is one of the points that you've been making about the expansion of this park. You've said you don't want it to be a burden on Belleville taxpayers. You want the park to pay for itself. And you have some ideas about how it can do that as this Evolution exactly. continues.
I'm from Maine. I squeeze a nickel until the buffalo cries.
You're from Maine?
Yes, originally.
I thought you were from Massachusetts.
I was born in Massachusetts, but my father was attached to the embassy, so we left the country when I was a child, and we didn't come back until it was time for me to go to high school. I really consider Maine my home because I spent the first 17 years of my life after we returned from overseas living in Maine from the military. But that's why I consider myself a maniac in more ways than one, I guess.
Okay.
Anyway, the restaurant that we envision, the income from that restaurant will pay to fund the park's expansion. So again, that will avoid it becoming a burden on the taxpayers.
Where are we with the restaurant now?
We've submitted the plans to the planning board and to the Board of Commissioners. We have the cost structures in place for it. We have five vendors who are interested in renting the restaurant once it's constructed. So it's a matter of the Belleville Board of Commissioners determining based on certain issues, one of which being, quite frankly, the lawsuit, when we can free up the funds to build the restaurant itself. The town is ready to pull the trigger on that. We are also, as you may or may not know, making the town hall 100% solar efficient. We are going to put solar panels on the roof of the town hall, which will reduce our current monthly electric bill by $90 per month. And then at the end of 15 years, it will be 100% paid for. And since the panels have a 25-year guarantee, it will save the taxpayers of Belleville some $90,000 after that in recurring energy costs. So we're being very aggressive for a small town.
Yes. Now, you've also got a Raptor Center in the works.
Yes.
At this same park on the Belleville Riverfront.
Yes.
Which
we've been
sits
working
on the
very
Brunswick
closely
River.
With the Cape Fear Raptor Center, with Scott Shemp and his wife Joni. And Dr. Joni has been down several times. We've had an owl howl at the park, and we've had three of them now. And that has been so successful, I invite everybody to attend that in November, by the way, that people come from as far away as Richmond, Virginia, and Charleston, South Carolina, to attend that. The last owl howl we had was from 10 in the morning till 3 in the afternoon. And in that five-hour span, we had 1,300 people attend the park to witness what they were doing.
You're listening to Coastline on 91.3 and 98.9 FM. Joe Brialt, Belleville Town Commissioner and Mayor Pro Tem, is my guest today. He's resigning halfway through his term for health reasons, so we're catching up with him before he moves to Florida. We're also taking your questions during the Live Thursday edition. You can call us at 910-343-1138 or email us at coastline@whqr.org. I'm Rachel Lewis-Hilburn for Coastline. You're listening to Coastline. I'm Rachel Lewis-Hilburn. Today, it's a conversation with Joe Brialt, Mayor Pro Tem of the town of Belleville in Brunswick County. While the town has a population of about 2,000 people and covers less than 2 square miles, Joe Brialt has put a tremendous amount of energy towards developing a thriving riverfront. He is resigning effective July 16th and moving to Florida per his doctor's orders. And before he leaves the state, he's taking your questions and comments on this Thursday. You can call us at 910-343-1138. You can also email us today at coastline@whqr.org. Joe, one of the more controversial moves that you've made during your tenure has to do with accepting the assets of a water utility that serves Leland, H2GO. You helped to engineer that deal whereby that utility would transfer its assets to the town of Belleville. It was a way of ensuring that plans to construct a reverse osmosis plant wouldn't get scuttled by the new H2GO majority, which was against constructing that RO plant. Opponents of the assets transfer and of the RO plant say that Belleville and H2GO officials tried to undercut the will of the people. Is that a reasonable conclusion?
Well, I'd like to correct one statement that you made earlier. I did not have anything to do with engineering the agreement that was entered into. It was brought before our board, and our board, in open session and in accordance with the law, accepted the requests of the outgoing board. Now, I can't comment further on the Age2Go situation because we are in litigation and I am under a court injunction not to speak about it. However, as a private individual, which I will be effective the 16th, I can say that I do have certain issues and reservations. The first one being that we have finally, everybody is on accord with the fact that the water does have a problem. There is contamination in our water. We are drinking a chemically laden product. I get distressed because as if we had gone away with the original RO plans as proposed, we would have been able to have clean, pure drinking water available to all of the public almost immediately, by September of this year in any case. Now, some people say that's not true, it would only be the Age2Go customers, but again, as a personal opinion, and I want to emphasize these are my personal viewpoints, have nothing to do with an official position at all. My personal opinion is, if you look at the mechanics of it, it would have been very easy to expand the capability of that RO facility to support providing clean water in conjunction with the county to the entire county and all of its residents. But that is an issue that will be resolved one way or the other in the forthcoming future. However, we could have done it now, not be drinking polluted water for another 3 or 4 years, and that concerns me.
And on that note, Jeff Gerken writes, in a public meeting in June of 2016, Mr. Brialt compared two Age2Go commissioners to a swarm of locusts, stated they were attempting to deliver the company to the town of Leland. Then he talks about 3 months later, the town council of Belleville engineering a coup in which the other three H2Go commissioners delivered all of the assets of the company to Belleville for the sum of $10 and other considerations, despite being warned by the North Carolina State Treasurer's Office they shouldn't do so. And he is... First of all, do you have any comment on what
Mr. Gerken is speaking as a pro-advocate of anti-Age2Go group. He happens not to mention the fact that he lives right behind where the plant would be. And again, on my personal opinion, I can't comment on the lawsuits or what's going on with the two towns. My personal opinion is that 90% of this issue is a not-in-my-backyard syndrome.
Now, I want to address, he says you use the language swarm of locusts, and you are, Joe Brialt, known for your colorful personality and your colorful language and for your take-no-prisoners approach, which is probably one of the reasons that serving on the board of a very small municipality in Brunswick County, you've still been able to push this tri-county vision and engage people in other municipalities on it. That said, talking about your language, you made headlines in 2012.
I know it's coming.
Yep, you sure do. This was not long after you were elected. You at first were these charges were dropped, and I want to be clear about that. But you were initially charged with communicating threats against Jack Batson, then mayor of Belleville, and the charges stemmed from an email that you sent to him. People around you said that this was really about personality differences. It should have been resolved privately and shouldn't have risen to the level that it did. But nonetheless, you said in your email, Batson, we all realize you have major anger management issues, but I will not tolerate nor accept verbal abuse. A word of advice, the next time you snap, lose your temper, raise your voice and yell at me, you may likely find your words rammed back down your throat and along with your new teeth and pulled out of your rectum. I strongly urge you to control your temper. Let us all try and act with the decorum befitting the town's representatives and as responsible adults, Joe Brialt. Now, I was conflicted about whether to bring this up. We talked about this before we went on the air, and you wound up apologizing to Jack Batson about this. But tell us about this language and this approach. Do you regret any of that?
Not really. I'm a very brusque person. I say what's on my mind. I can't stand hypocrisy. Mr. Batson was, in my opinion, verbally abusive, not just to me, but to female members of the staff, and that does not sit well with me. If you read the wording on that email, it should have been kept as a private communication. It was sent on a private email server to his private email. It was not meant for publication. It was meant to be a one-on-one communication and should have been handled between the two of us. It wasn't. Well, I don't regret the action, But the fact remains, I am what I am. And I call it the way I see it.
You're listening to Coastline. Today it's a conversation with Belleville Mayor Pro Tem Joe Briault, whose resignation is effective July 16th due to health concerns. Soon after July 16th, he heads to Florida. You can ask him your own question on this Thursday by calling us at 910-343-1138 or by emailing us today at coastline@whqr.org. Darcel from Leland, welcome to Coastline. You're on the air.
Thank you, Rachel. First of all, Mr. Briault, wishing you wellness in your relocation. I wish the best for you and your family. I have two concerns. One, have you ever considered a merger with Belleville Leland, but having a total new identity without having either name involved in a selection? Maybe the students and children in the area could come up with something, because it's a Hatfield and McCoy. I lived in both areas. And also, as a Leland Ladies for Legislative Leadership member, I wonder what your approach or your feelings would be on having ILM, the local airport, have members from the whole area involved, because the local airport expects our participation and in that, and as a designer who worked in an airport in Flint, Michigan, Bishop International, I have real issues when you don't have anybody, a board member, and especially me, a woman of color, a black woman. So just those two ideas, and once again, wishing you wellness.
Darcel, thank you so much for your questions. So the first question, Joe Briault, feelings on Leland and Belleville merging if it's renamed. Actually, before you address that, for folks who aren't familiar with this pretty vitriolic dialogue that has existed between the two municipalities, can you give us a little history on that and help us understand why Darcel referred to them as the Hatfields and McCoys? Some people might not disagree with that.
Well, there's been a lot of hard feeling between the two towns for years, almost from the time they were first separated. And I don't know the basis of a lot of it, and I don't really care as to why it's there. I know that on multiple occasions we've tried to cooperate and reach out, and for one reason or the other, it has not worked out. Belleville is surrounded on three sides by Leland, and we have different visions of what should be in the future. First of all, in terms of a merger, we have polled the residents of Belleville on several occasions to determine their feelings on the subject, and the vast majority do not want merger. They like the idea of Belleville being a freestanding small-town community. So we embrace that and continue with that issue. In terms of the two towns and the hard feelings between them, I think a lot of that is politically based, unfortunately, and I also think that there are different issues in the visions. And if I were Leland, I would probably take many of the same stances that Leland does, to be honest. Leland is going to be, without a doubt, the bedroom community, and it'll probably at one point be as large, if not larger, than Wilmington because of this growth opportunity. Belleville is limited. We can't grow.
So then why have folks in Belleville been opposed to being, say, annexed by Leland? I mean, it's this, as I've said, less than 2 square mile area surrounded by Leland, I think on all sides except the riverfront. Why is it necessary to stay separate?
The consensus of the people of our town is that we like being a small town. We like being independent. We like having a tax rate that's less than one-third of the Leland tax rate. We like having the park right there and the amenities that we have. We like the fact that our people can come up and talk to their commissioners and see them on a daily basis. There's not a day that goes by that one of the commissioners or the mayor or myself are not in the park and people come up to talk to us. People like that. They like the small-town ambiance, and that's what they want to maintain, and we're proud of it.
Darcel also asked, well, actually, what if the names were taken out of it and just a new region was, a new municipality was introduced?
Well, I think you've got several issues there, and I don't want to get into the demographics, but what's happening in my, again, this is my personal opinion. What's happening is you're having a lot of the northerners like myself come down here, And we're moving into the areas like Brunswick Forest and Waterford and Magnolia Greens. And we're buying these homes that are $300,000 and $400,000 that up north would have cost us $500,000 or $600,000 or $700,000. We're getting a tax rate that's down around $1,000, $1,200, $2,000 a year for property that up north would cost us $7,000 or $8,000 a year. So the people that are coming down, the northerners, want the amenities that they had up north, and they're not adverse to paying a higher tax rate. But again, in my opinion, what are we doing to the locals who've lived here for 20 years? What are we doing to their budgets, to their income, to their structure? Because these people that have been here for a long time, if you hit them with a $50 or $100 increase for taxes, another $50 for library, another $50 for water removal, all of a sudden you're talking $500 or $600 a year. That's a major impact to a lot of people, a major impact.
Do you have any comment on Darcel's question about having board members from the Tri-County area beyond the ILM Airport Board?
I think that the people from the Tri-County area should be on the ILM board. I think that we should have a say in what's going on in there, but that's not for me to call. That, to me, I understand that's a legislative action, but again, I don't know for sure.
And I want to just, in the first segment, we talked about the evolution of the Riverfront Park, and we're not going to spend that much more time on it, but I do want to go back to the restaurant. You've looked at plans for that. Do you have an idea about the kind of restaurant that could show up there? Are you in talks with any restaurateurs?
We are in talk with several restaurateurs. The restaurant itself has been designed. It's 4,400 square feet. It's structured out. The architectural plans have been designed and drafted for it. The approximate rent that the restaurateur would have to pay to the town has been pretty much agreed upon. It's a matter of how soon can the town come up with the funding to build the structure.
And who are the restaurants that you're in talks with?
I really cannot talk about that at this point. It's still a competitive situation. I can say that they will not be a chain restaurant. I can say that we're trying to require the restaurant to have 30% healthy choice food items. I can say that the restaurant be required to use Carolina-grown product and produce to the extent possible. I can say that the restaurant is being required to provide meals with the entrees tied to the CPI, currently at around $16 to $18 for main entree. Our intent is that the average family can go to the river, sit by the water, and have a meal in a very pleasant ambiance without breaking the bank. Again, it comes back to what I said a few minutes ago. We have to consider the populace and the people that have been here for years. I want a place where they can go and have a couple have a nice meal and bring their family and children there and not have them cost them a week's pay.
You had a really interesting upbringing. Your father worked for the U.S. Embassy, and you lived in other countries. You lived abroad for a number of years as a child. Tell us about that.
My father was in the Navy, and he was attached to the Naval Attaché's Office of the United States Embassy. And in the 1950s, the United States, as many people may remember, was in an expansion mode. So we would travel while the embassy was negotiating to open facilities. We never lived in any one country more than 9 months. I went to school in Wiesbaden, Germany. I never knew where I was going home when school break came. We had 6 weeks on and 2 weeks off. I might be going home to Italy. I might be going home to Cambridge, England. I might be going to Spain. But we traveled extensively during that period, yes. And that's part of why I think my personality is the way it is, because when you're moving that quickly, you learn to make friends fast. My wife says I can talk to a wall and get it to answer me. But, you know, that's part of how you get things done.
How old were you when your family finally came back to settle in the United States?
17.
17 years old, so almost finished with high school.
I'm sorry, 16. 16 I was. That was my last year of high school, yes.
What was your impression of your peers in your senior year in high school, your peers who had born and raised in the United States, hadn't traveled abroad the way you had? What were some of the differences you found?
Spoiled brats.
And why do you say that?
Because people in this country do not understand how fortunate they are. I've lived in countries where people would scramble for our garbage. I got called before the Alcalde in Spain. We were the first Americans when they were negotiating for Rota. And I was paying my personal maid. I'm 14 years of age, and I'm paying my personal maid $2 a week. She worked 7 days a week, 8 hours a day, and made more money than her father. I got arrested for wearing a Boy Scout uniform because Franco was still alive and he was a dictator. I used to play in the pillboxes in Morocco, where the Germans had the tanks embedded prior to the invasion of Morocco. In Egypt, we got in trouble because my mother would not wear a veil or anything when she went out in public. And back in the 50s, that was a no-no. In Madrid, we got called before the council because my mother did not wear a mantilla when she went to church. I mean, it was a totally different upbringing. In Germany, when I went to school, most of the buildings in the 1950s were still in ruins and being reconstructed. People were very proud of the American presence at that time overseas. I came home to this country, and people took everything for granted. And I didn't know how to react to that.
Joe Briault, whom we're talking with today, by the way, Mayor Pro Tem of the town of Belleville. He's resigning effective July 16th and moving to Florida due to a diagnosis of pulmonary fibrosis. You can ask him your own question on this Thursday by calling us at 910-343-1138 or emailing us today at coastline@whqr.org. I learned just before we went on the air that you have 3 different birth certificates, and you don't actually know when your birthday is.
That is correct.
How did that happen?
My mother in the 1940s had toxemia, and you did not, as the Catholic family, endanger the mother's health in those days as they would have to remove the child. So she was semi-comatose and did not know when I was delivered. The family doctor who delivered me, Dr. Poria, delivered me, and he wrote one date on the birth certificates. Mount Auburn Hospital in Cambridge, Massachusetts, where my mother was admitted, wrote down a second birth certificate, and the obstetricians and delivery facilities wrote down a third one. So the city of Cambridge ended up with 3 birth certificates being recorded, 28, 29, and 30 July.
So which birthday do you celebrate, or do you celebrate all 3?
Well, when I had to go in the military, I had to choose a date, so we chose 30 July.
The 30th of July, 1943.
Correct.
And you also have 3 different names on those birth certificates.
Well, more than
3, probably.
Again, we're dealing with the 1940s. We're dealing with Boston, Massachusetts, where the neighborhoods were segregated. My mother went to the Irish Catholic Church, St. John the Evangelist, on Ringe Avenue in Massachusetts. And my father went to Notre Dame de Pitié, which was the French church. The schoolyards abutted each other. My father was learning English. My mother was learning French. They met in the schoolyards, and they had a childhood romance, and I'm the result of that little romance. but in the meantime, during the Second World War, my father was overseas, and I was born. My mother had me christened at the Irish Catholic Church, St. John the Evangelist, on Massachusetts Avenue, as Joseph August Jr.
And let's hear about those other names.
Okay.
When we come back from this break, you're listening to Coastline. I'm Rachel Lewis-Hilburn. We're talking with Mayor Pro Tem of the town of Belleville, Joe Briault, who's served on the town commission since 2012 and is resigning July 16th due to health concerns. You can ask your own question of Joe Briault on this Thursday by calling us at 910-343-1138 or emailing us at coastline@whqr.org. I'm Rachel Lewis-Hilburn for Coastline. You're listening to Coastline. I'm Rachel Lewis-Hilburn. Today, Mayor Pro Tem of the town of Belleville in Brunswick County, Joe Briault, is with us today. First elected in 2011. He is serving on the town commission, resigning effective July 16th per his doctor's orders. Today, we're learning about his vision for the region, how his childhood as the son of a U.S. embassy, a naval officer, actually shaped his worldview. And what's next for him? You can ask your own question by calling us on this Thursday at 910-343-1138. You can also email us today at coastline@whqr.org. Just a reminder, it's the last segment, so just a few minutes left to get your question or comment in. And Joe Briault, just before we went to break, you were explaining why you had 3 different birth certificates. You've settled on July 30th as your actual birth date. And different names on those birth certificates. So if you could revisit this, these names.
My mother took me to the Irish Catholic Church, St. John the Evangelist on Massachusetts Avenue, had me christened as Joseph August Jr. My grandparents, it's a tradition in Europe that the grandparents get to name the first progenitor of the family name. So they took me to the French church, again, Notre-Dame-de-Pitié, and had me christened as Auguste Léger Bro. My name, by the way, is properly pronounced Bro, but I learned when I was in officers' candidate school that if I did not answer to the name Cadet Briault, I walked a lot of guard. So I became Briault. Anyway, they had me christened as Auguste Léger. My father returned at the end of the Second World War, and he wanted me named after him because he said my mother had done it wrong. His name was August Ledger. So I was rechristened as my father's name, August Ledger Jr.
Is there a different spelling there?
Yes, the Auguste is with an E and the August is without. So my name actually officially ended up as being Joseph August with an E, Auguste properly pronounced, and Bro pronounced Briault. That's why I can live three lives. I can never do anything wrong. It's always the other guy.
You have your own military service, and you went to Vietnam. Tell us about that.
I spent 3 years in Nam. I didn't do enough damage the first time around, so I had to go back twice more and figure out how I could really screw things up. I served from 67 to 70. The military and the American public spent 4 years of getting me a degree in civil engineering and training me to build things, and then I spent the next 3 years destroying them. But, you know, I'm really happy today to see the welcome the kids are getting as they come home. It's a totally different environment, and I'm very proud and happy of them and for them.
Tell us what that was like coming back. How is it different for you coming back from Vietnam?
Well, first of all, you have to remember I was brought up overseas. I saw the way that people live there. My attitude of the American public was to many degrees influenced by the way I was brought up. And when I came home, it was traumatic, to say the least.
Can you tell us?
I landed in the airport and I was spat on by a lady who had a baby in her arms who started calling me a warmonger and a child killer. That was my welcome home.
I'm so sorry about that.
That was the one. It was the time. The time has changed, and that's good.
What do you think is different? Why do you think people back then versus today were so angry at the members of the military?
I think back then it was a lot of political influence of what was going on. It was radicalization. I mean, don't forget it was the era of the Black Panther movement and all those other issues. There was a lot of social upheaval going on within the country. I think there was a lot of distrust of our government and our status back then. I am not saying that it was justified. I'm not saying it wasn't justified. In the long run, it was probably good for the country to have us go through that kind of trauma. That's my personal opinion again. But I'm glad it's over with.
What do you mean it was good to go through that kind of trauma?
I think any time you have to face adversity and you overcome it, no matter what it is, whether it's social upheaval, whether it's the enactment of laws or whatever, the result is for the better in the long run. And I think this country is stronger because of it.
After you returned from Vietnam, what did you do for work? Where did you go?
I ended up working in the automotive industry, and I spent the next 35 years of my life doing assurance work in the quality in the automotive vehicle manufacturing environment.
How did you get into that? Why that?
It was an accident. I was working at a Ford Motor Plant installing a production control system, a computerized production control system, and I just got very involved in the entire process of manufacturing vehicles. And one thing led to another with my personality. I'm kind of a strange person. I believe you should try everything once. The biggest lesson I've learned in my life was when my parents imbued in me, and that was a very simple one. What are the last four letters of the word American? I can. Try everything once. If you don't at least try, you don't know if you can do it. So that's been my approach to life.
What have you not tried that you wish you had?
I don't really know how to answer that because that's an almost infinite question. It depends upon the money. It depends upon the health. I'd love to have been able to go into the space program, okay? I'd love to take a space flight now. I'd love to be able to take a round-the-world cruise with my wife and just, you know, spend some time traveling. There's a lot of things I'd like to do, but the bucket list is limitless.
You're listening to Coastline. Today, it's a conversation with Belleville Mayor Pro Tem Joe Briault, whose resignation is effective July 16th due to diagnosis of pulmonary fibrosis soon after his resignation is effective. He heads to Florida. You can ask him your own question on this Thursday by either calling us at 910-343-1138 or by sending an email to coastline@whqr.org. What was QIS, Inc. that you worked for?
QIS was the firm I worked for some years, and basically they were an arbiter for the automotive industry. If you were a major manufacturer, Ford Motor Company, for example, and you had a supplier, I'll use Magna or Johnson Controls for an example, that provided goods to Ford, and your product would not work, and the two of you could not come to an agreement as to whose fault it was that that product would not work, you would call in QIS as an arbiter, and we would look at the product. We would look at the blueprints you Ford created. We'd look at the blueprints they got. We received the rev levels you Ford made when you made them, the ones the supplier got when he got them, the engineering change orders you made, the engineering change orders the supplier got when he got them, the product you actually constructed versus the product you said you'd construct, the product the supplier constructed versus what he was told to construct. And then if the problem was Ford's, Ford paid all the bills. If the problem was the supplier paid all the bills.
You're listening to Coastline. It's a conversation with Joe Brialt, who serves on Belleville's Town Commission for less than a week before he heads to Florida. And we have Joe with Wilmington. Welcome to Coastline. You're on the air.
Joe, this is Joe Romano. I've been listening to the program, and Mr. Brialt has helped us out tremendously with Seaview Crab Company. We're one of the vendors at the Riverwalk Park, and I was just curious as to, you know, even in your retirement, you've been such an example of public service that I've deal with a lot of government in my line of work with the seafood industry, and we're constantly, you know, dealing with different people in government. And Joe has been an extremely effective, very frank communicator that's gotten stuff done. And I'm just wondering what's the motivation? Why in your retirement are you still so getting after it?
Good question. Thank you so much for the question, Joe.
Well, first of all, Joe, I appreciate the input and your kind words. I am retiring, and it's not something I want to do. I want to emphasize that, but my health dictates that I have to. And I've got to be far enough away that I can't continue to work as much as I'd love to with you and seeing the farmers market and the other issues of the park progress. But I'm very, very pleased that you've been so successful at the farmers market. You've been a tremendous asset for the entire region, and thank you for participating.
Joe, how did you choose Belleville, North Carolina as the place you wanted to retire with your wife?
We had done a matrix of the 14 southeastern states, and we eliminated some states for various reasons. We came down to a final choice of North Carolina and South Carolina. We looked at property at both. We spent probably 6 months going back and forth looking at the properties. My wife decided that she wanted to be fairly close to Wilmington, as opposed to being in the Myrtle Beach area where we had been looking. And we found a property that we liked and settled in Belleville. And I've been very happy there.
Why did you decide? Have you ever held public office before Belleville?
No,
never. Why run and why do all that in the first place?
Well, we lived in the town for about 2 years, and the town at that point was looking at having the downtown area redeveloped. And they were choosing a contractor to execute the proposed redevelopment plan. It was and is a superb redevelopment plan. It would make the downtown of Belleville look like a Mayfair area. The plan was outstanding in every way, shape, or manner. However, having my experience in the auto industry and contract negotiations, I was horrified when I looked at the contract that was being proposed, because it was a multi-million dollar contract with no escape clause, no penalty clause, no firm time schedule, and no consequence damage clause for the town. And I raised those issues. The town went ahead and executed the contract, and we're currently in litigation. Hopefully it'll be resolved. Again, I am not at all and never have been adverse to the plan for the downtown. I'm adverse to the contract, to the way it was written, and I still am.
How do you foresee that litigation ending?
I don't really know. It's in process right now. I'm hoping, and from all indications, that we're coming to an amicable resolution and that we'll be able to move forward with the plan as proposed. All signs indicate that that is the case, so hopefully it'll move forward.
What do you want to see happen? Understanding you've said several times now that you're moving to Florida because you have to be far away enough that you you don't try to commute and stay involved in the business of the town of Belleville. But what would you like to see happen as part of your legacy, part of moving the ball down the field that you've kicked off?
Well, I don't want to talk about my legacy per se. I think that what we really need to focus on is what's good for the people of the Tri-County area. And I think if Belleville can continue to promote the vision that we have initiated, if we can continue to move forward in the path that we have, it will benefit the entire region dramatically. And that's what I would like to see happen.
And you talked earlier about this walkway that now exists. It's a mile long on Belleville's riverfront.
Right.
But that's just the beginning of your vision. You want to see that extend where?
I want to see it become a 28-mile-long bicycle and pedestrian trail, and that's been drafted out, and that's drawn out. And it's a matter of area like the New Hanover County stepping up and Brunswick County stepping up and some of the towns within that to execute that plan. If they look at it the way it's drafted, you don't have to purchase any property. You use public right-of-way, you use utility right-of-way, use railroad right-of-way to get almost all of it built.
Why do you think that connecting path is important for the Tri-County region? What would it do?
I think it would serve as a dynamic economic engine. I mean, first of all, bicycle and pedestrian trails are becoming very popular. To be able to unite these isolated islands of interest I've talked about earlier, if you take the Belleville waterfront with our historical sites on there, you tie that via boardwalk to the battleship North Carolina. You then cross the bridge, you tie that to the Wilmington downtown commercial waterfront. You come down Wilmington's planned and underway and funded Fifth Avenue bicycle path to Greenfield Park. You tie it at Greenfield Park into it. You come down the planned, funded and built, planning to be built, pathway down either Shipyard Boulevard or Independence Boulevard to the proposed site of the Southern Cape Fear River Crossing. Then you cross the river, you come into the Black Swamp Trail that the county has, tie that into the Nature Trail that's already built on 133, come back up to the park that by utility right-of-way and railroad right-of-way, come back up to the park at Westgate area, then go from there to the new park that Belleville built behind the Walmart, use the H2GO right-of-way to come back to the H2GO facility on Plouf Road, and then from Plouf Road come down behind the elementary school back into the Belleville Park. A very simple executed plan.
There's a step that's in the works now connecting to the battleship.
Yes, we just sat down yesterday, as a matter of fact, with our town engineers and a potential contractor to work on the funding grant application for the engineering study to bring the pathway from the proposed Belleville downtown to the battleship. And that application will be submitted this month.
The application
for the engineering study to determine the costs and the actual pathway that we have to take to get across there. And one small correction, the boardwalk would not be 1 mile long. From the existing boardwalk to the battleship, it would be a little over 2.2 miles total boardwalk length.
It would be. You're saying
yes.
It's right now it's about a
right mile. Now it's about, it's the it, to get from where we are now to the battleship, the new boardwalk would be 2.2 miles additional.
Okay, so it would increase by more than
50%.
When you move to Florida, what are you going to do?
Whatever my wife tells me. I've been married 25 years. The woman is fantastic. She's put up with me for all that time. And she tells me I'm still on probation, but I can understand that.
But really, are there things that you want to pursue in Florida? Are you going to stay out of municipal government?
I'm going to stay out of government. I can't get myself wound back into it. I believe firmly that if you're going to commit, you commit 100%. And if I can't do that, I'm not going to do it at all. And I've learned in this time around that because of my nature, I can't get back into politics. What I probably will do is do something. I made the mistake of building my wife a coffee table and two end tables a while back at her request. And it took me close to a year to build that because I imported the wood from, I bought some African sapling mahogany and built them. And I think I spent 6 months sanding the damn things. So I think my next project will be to try to build a man's chest drawer out of mahogany. That'll keep me occupied for a while.
Joe Brialt, if you could go back and give your younger self advice, say yourself at 25, what would you tell that self? What do you wish he'd known that you know today?
That's almost an impossible question to answer because I could go in 15 different directions from that point. I could have, for example, stayed in the military and been extremely comfortable. I could have avoided the mistakes I've made in personal relationships. You know, this is my second marriage. I've been lucky. I could have done some different things in terms of my career path, but I don't really know what I would have changed dramatically, because as it stands, we have to live with where we are and what we are, and I'm happy with where I am and what I am. Thank God for my wife.
And that's this edition of Coastline. Joe Briel, thank you so much for being with us today, and good luck on your next chapter.
Thank you.
Coastline's technical director is Ken Campbell. Producer is Rachel Keith. Production manager is Caitlin Hanrahan. Caitlin Freund is our webmaster. Coastline is a production of WHQR Public Media. If you missed part of this episode, look for it at WHQR.org. Get the podcast, find it on the HQR app, or just tune in for the rebroadcast Sunday afternoon at 2. I'm Rachel Lewis-Hilburn for Coastline.